pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts in union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Amen. All right, good morning. I'd like to call this morning's adjourned September meeting for November 19th at 9 a.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
She will not be here.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Grader?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make the following amendments to the agenda. I'd like to pull number 7F, K, and L off consent agenda.
Thank you. 7F will move to highway, and K and L will be under planning, building, and zoning as items D and F.
Okay.
I'm sorry, D and E. Prochaska. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Sussage. Need just Mr. Kellogg?
I don't need a second for pulling the consent.
Oh.
Oh, all right. Well, it's for the approval of the agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Sussage. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Any special recognition? Public comment. If there's anyone who'd like to speak on items facing us today, come on up and you have 5 minutes. Good morning.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jerry Bannister. What's going on? My name is Jerry Bannister. I live in unincorporated Oswego, and today I'm here to talk about item number 8, which is the approval to the GIS legal description policy. Just to give you a little background, I've been a real estate title searcher since 1991. I've done tens of thousands of searches in over 20 counties. And one of the most difficult things in the entire title insurance industry is the determination of ownership, second only to what land is being described. The policy change that is proposed is asking a county employee who probably doesn't have adequate training or experience to determine ownership of a property. For example, I recently had one here in Kendall County that required going back into the books. We made probably 20 different deed copies. The legal description encompassed several different pages, and it was really a train wreck to expect a county employee that doesn't have that specialized knowledge and specialized training to do that accurately is, I think, beyond the scope of that office. So the reason I'm here today is to ask that you pull that off the agenda today and rethink that portion of it. Another item that often comes up back in the chain of title is estate issues. There may not have been a deed for decades, maybe ever sometimes, and in order for an employee of the county to determine ownership, they would have to go to the circuit clerk's office, pull the copy of the will, determine whether the will was executed properly, the heirship was executed properly, and that entire chain of title could be in question because you never know what's going to happen there. And that doesn't even have, it may not even have happened in Kendall County. So are you going to have a county employee go to Will County or Kane County to make that determination? There's different types of ownership. There's joint tenancy, tenancy in common, tenancy by the entirety, LLCs, trusts, all kinds of different things. Again, where specialized legal knowledge would have to be in place for that county employee to make that determination. I believe that's well beyond the scope of the office, and I respectfully ask that you take that off, you know, put table it or do whatever you need to do to move that to a different meeting and rethink that language. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Public comment? All right, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, last items F, K, and L?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Giles, seconded by Prochaska. And consent agenda consists of today approval of county board minutes from October 15, 2019, standing committee minutes approval, approval of claims in amount not to exceed $2,461,313.57, approval of low bid of Arneson Oil Company to provide 15,000 gallons of gas at $2.152 a gallon and 20,000 gallons of diesel fuel at $2.546 a gallon to the Highway Department for the fiscal year 2020. Approval of resolution accepting the low bid of corrective asphalt materials in the amount of $129,708.50 for crack filling on various county highways. Approval of preliminary engineering services agreement between Kendall County and Hampton, Lenzini, and Renwick in the amount of $43,500 for replacement of the River Road Bridge over Rob Roy Creek using Township Bridge Program funds. Approval of Chicago HIDA Finance Assistance Service Contract with Kendall County as a fiduciary agent effective December 2, 2019 through December 1, 2020 in the amount of $78,000. Approval of Chicago HIDA Executive Director Service Contract with Kendall County as a fiduciary agent effective November 29, 2019 through November 30, 2023 in the amount of $177,443. Approval of Chicago HIDA Finance Assistant Service Contract with Kendall County as a fiduciary agent effective December 2, 2019 through December 1, 2020 in the amount of $78,000. Approval of the 2019 Noxious Weed Ordinance annual report as opposed to the obnoxious one. Approval of plumbing inspection contract between Kendall County and Randy Erickson, DBA Erickson Construction for a period of 3 years with one additional one-year option. Plumbing inspection fees would increase from $140 per inspection to $150 per inspection. And finally, approval of the 2020 County Board annual meeting schedule. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. Next up, under old business, is approval of the GIS Department legal description policy. Mr. Kellogg.
I'm going to ask Mr. Keppel to speak or someone from the GIS Department, please.
Yeah, Megan's here as well and can happily answer any questions you may have. So this policy concerns...
Before you get started, Scott, Member Sessage is making the motion to approve. Seconded by Kellogg and for discussion.
We discussed this policy a little bit at Committee of the Whole. This has to do with the GIS Department and how they interact with when a document gets recorded and then when they map the legal description specifically after a document's been recorded and what they can and cannot do as they are, county staff. They're not lawyers or surveyors. So this policy is to help protect them and to give direction approved by the county board. So they would be, it's also then to provide feedback to the citizens if there is an issue when they go to map a recorded document. It doesn't have to do with searching, going into the past, tracking anything. It is very specifically when something is recorded as part of the process, the document gets sent to GIS. GIS has to map it, and sometimes there are, they'll try to map it and it won't map in a square, it'll have an open end or there'll be some other issue. So we wanted to codify how we provide feedback to citizens, but also note that they are not attorneys and there's limits as to what they can do, and this policy was drafted using advice from counsel.
Ms. Gilmore.
So to address Mr. Bannister's concern, are we asking GIS to determine ownership of any properties?
No.
Okay.
That was my concern, early on as well, was, that we not put this in the hands of GIS to make determinations, and I think that was the intent here, mm-hmm. is to not do that. Ms. Hendricks?
Tin, I'm so sorry, but are you able to clarify the difference between the gentleman's concerns and what's passing here for me, please?
I believe that the scope of this is pretty, this policy is pretty limited, and it has to do with, and maybe Megan can add a little bit more, but it has to do specifically with when a document is recorded and we are asked to map it, what we can and cannot do if we find errors. Because we can't correct it, we can't make assumptions about that it, if you did this, then it would be okay, because that's not something we can do. The surveyor or attorney needs to make that recommendation. All we can say is that when we try to do our job mapping it, that it is incorrect. We will not be looking backwards in time at who used to own it, at what used to happen with the property. there's a legal description that is part of the recording. We're reading that and then putting that on the map. And then if there are problems, that's what this policy discloses. It also states that we can't review them ahead of being recorded, because that's, you need to have it reviewed by your attorney or by the surveyor that did the legal description. Not, that's something we cannot provide, that they need to do that, you know, as a service for you. And that's all it's trying to line up. It doesn't have to do with any more than that.
Okay, so as regards his concern for mapping, we're not involved in the description as much as we're literally just mapping plots, points on a map.
Yep, we have to read the legal description and then from that put it on our official county map. So if there was a split of a parcel that went from like 1 to 2, it would change the map, and we would need to go in and then and map that. If there were other changes, then we would need to reflect that properly in the map. An example of one was when we're doing the lease with, we're eventually going to have, we had to get a legal description of the area that where we're going to lease to Green Energy for the solar field. So that just needs to be reflected on the map when everything's finalized.
So here's one of the concerns that I have, and you just said it a second ago, determine if there's an error. I don't know how GIS necessarily would be able to determine the error, and specifically, like if you look, we're on page 75 of our packet, and the second half of the ordinance, GIS employee may not provide any further information or opinion to the requester on the results of the mapping other than to identify the following, which is good. The but number two, the legal description includes property not owned by the document's grantor, and that is a conclusion, you know, that they're making, that, you know, I own it or I don't own it, where, so that gives me some concern, I guess, that they're making that decision without having checked the chain of title or, you know, checked the recorder's records. I don't know if Debbie has any thought on that. But
I mean, I've expressed my concerns when this was first brought up about, you know, the recording and Mr. Bannister's sentiments as well. How are we to tell people you own it or you don't own it? I mean, like, to me it sounds like you want an out of having to check legal descriptions. But as far as working with the recorder's office, we need your help because you are the mapping department. So I have expressed concerns since the get-go. I know that the state's attorney's office reviewed it, and our employees are not surveyors. So, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22. You know,
yeah.
I do have concerns, and I've expressed those concerns. I mean, it's up to the board and obviously the mapping department, how you want, what you want them to do, the scope of what you want them to do.
Mr. Giles.
Thank you. I was just kind of wondering, is this going to cause any additional expense to the owners of the property? Are they going to have any additional surveying or legal expenses that might come up as a result of this?
Yes. If you have, you hire a surveyor, that's going to cost money.
Well, we can't fix your survey if it's wrong. We can't fix your legal description if it's wrong. Now or after this policy is passed, you still need to pay someone to do the survey or to get the legal description and to pay a surveyor and then have it reviewed. We can't, exactly what Scott was saying before about ownership, true ownership. If they came in with an incorrect legal description now, incorrect insofar as that we can't map it. And I believe that the point number two, and where that example would happen, would be as if there was an overlap once it was mapped. And that would be the concern, where we would identify that, is that if you can come up to, and maybe Megan can better explain that, that it would overlap with another parcel.
Before you start, Mr. Kelly, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had a piggyback on Tony's question. I know there'd be fees because they got to correct if there's an error on their side. Is with our new GIS fees, if they come in, receive feedback that they don't fall within the guidelines and have to go get more help, do we have a second fee that they have to pay, or are they still covered under the initial?
I mean, they're saying that they don't want to review the legal descriptions even before it's recorded.
No, I know. So if what I'm asking is if they come in, they pay the fee to have it looked at, and we bounce it back, we're not.
We don't.
You won't
look
that
at them before. It's either, I mean, you bring it in, we record it.
So there's no cost until it's
ready. Recorded, okay. And then if it's wrong, then they have to re-record it, get a survey potentially to correct the legal description.
So they're only paying the recording fee once?
No, they would have to pay it twice to get it re-recorded. So if you came in, re-recorded it, and then somewhere down the line it was wrong, then it would have to be re-recorded, and there's a cost associated with that.
Eric, do you want to opine? So you're not nodding your head.
I was just agreeing with Devin. It would be two costs. So you would re-record it, the same fee would apply.
That's what I was asking. Yes.
Sorry.
Ms. Hendricks.
Sorry, just before you start. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm wondering if you or anyone else here has a proposed solution to this.
Well, that's a good question. I would strike, I guess, the number two, or send it back for more discussion to Cal, you know, to look at this a little bit further to make sure that we're not providing some kind of a legal conclusion.
I'd like to make that motion to send it back to Cal.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to send it back to Cal for additional discussion.
Do you want to hear Megan's?
Yeah, Megan, do you want to?
I was just going to clarify the second point. So maybe the second point should be clarified or rewritten, but the second point is merely just to say if the legal description encompasses other land that is not currently part of the subject property being defined in the beginning part of the document. So the beginning part of the document will say a PIN number and an address. So that's the first way we would determine it. And then we read the legal description to see if it matches up with that PIN and site address. And if we find that the legal description encompasses other spaces outside of that, that's is us saying it's not owned by you. But it's not necessarily a ownership chain of title.
Yeah, okay. Ms. Sessage?
So is that's happening now, even before this policy?
Yes.
So
Mr. Keller?
Since mapping's inception, it's always been like this. We were just trying to make a codified element.
So you're trying to clarify
it. Because we've been having pushback from attorneys that we need to record or review it, and we can't provide the advice of a surveyor or attorney.
So that's happening already.
Right.
So this is the codifying of that policy.
But the way it reads to me is something that they can say, hey, you know, you made a decision here, and, you know, add it to when they file suit. They can add this as an Exhibit A now, or before it's a little more kind of gray.
So how would it be rewritten then, or how would it be?
Well, that's what I think, you know, Audra was asking, is that let's send it back to Cal and Scott. Can you give us, you know, help? You've heard the concern. Can you help us? It kind of similar to what you just said, you know, let's make it read that way as opposed to just the way it reads right now, I think is kind of...
Okay. I think the word owned is the what's the issue here, that we could say it would overlap with other properties or something along those lines. We'll work on the wording, but
yeah,
that's what we're concerned with, is we can't have, you know, nothing can overlap, and when that happens, that's an issue that we need to have addressed.
Mr. Gangler?
So would the proper protocol be to confer with their plat or survey or description with the GIS department and then move forward with the recording? And they compare right away and say, is it right or wrong? And then if it's wrong, then they go back before they record? Is that possible?
We have not done review of legal descriptions or attempt to map legal descriptions prior to recordings before. Okay. We get the document after it's been recorded. We get it to make the change to the official map. We don't look at it ahead of time. It says, I think, in the policy that it's, or in the guideline, that, you know, that's the surveyor or the attorney should be, you know, doing that. So we're assuming you're getting a bad product when there's a problem that we can't map, so that we're just trying to help, because if we can't fit on the map or it doesn't map appropriately, we need to be able to alert that, because we can't have a map that's wrong.
Do you want me to put them at Liz's spot?
Yes.
Can. Okay, Ms. Hendricks.
Call the question.
All in favor signify by saying aye to sending this back to Cal.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Scott, we can talk afterwards, too, a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
New business. Elected official reports and other department reports. Sheriff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to let you know, last week we had our inspection with the Illinois Department of Corrections, and we passed.
However, during the inspection, there was a small fire in the jail. And I'm happy to say that our response and policy worked out very well, so the inspector actually saw it in place, so that was kind of nice.
You planned that.
It was very minimal damage. No, it was not a plan. Very minimal damage was done. In fact, basically nothing. What happened was is they put some mop heads in a dryer, and the strings from the mop heads went into where the dryer portion is, and it started a small fire. But anyway, it was nice the inspector actually saw it in action. If you can look at anything positive from that. Two correctional deputies, they graduated last week from the academy on Friday. Just a reminder, I have three promotions. We're going to have a ceremony on November 27th coming up. You're welcome to attend that. Also for, as you notice, I'm growing a beard. For No Shave November, with T-shirt sales and the No Shave November, we've raised $1,080. And this year, we put out to a vote to all the members of the the Sheriff's Office. And the donation is going to go to Badge for Life. It's a not-for-profit organization for mental health and suicide prevention of first responders.
That's great.
So in the past, we've done various Kendall County Food Pantry, stuff like that, but that's what the troops voted for. So anyway, any other questions besides that?
I would grow a beard, but this is kind of... This is how I would join us. Kind of
itchy. I can tell you that.
Works for women too. Yeah.
So, and I need some coloring as well.
Well, thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
County Clerk and Recorder.
My revenue report is in the packet. We have been going around to people in the county for training for the invoice entry on the new Tyler system. So we are getting ready for that. We are training people to put their invoices in, their vouchers in, and running check runs so that we are ready for when we go live on December 2nd. A couple of glitches here and there. We do expect that with new software, but I think overall it's going to be a very good system once we get familiar with it and use it. Petitions for the 2020 March election. The first day for filing is Monday, so we are getting ready for that election already. In November, and we have been doing e-recording, and now we are getting set up with MyDeck with the Illinois Department of Revenue, so that's going to happen on Thursday, so we can get rid of our revenue stamps, paper stamps that we have to put on the documents when a deed is transferred, and that should help out the Supervisor of Assessment's office as well. Their data entry should be a lot easier once we get onto the MyDeck system. So we've been quite busy.
Sounds
looking
like
forward to Thanksgiving.
Not going, yeah. Thank you. Treasurer. Clerk of the court. State's attorney.
I have nothing new to report. Been busy, but any questions? Do you have to answer them? Otherwise,
thank you. Coroner, Ms. Purcell. Morning.
Should be in your packet. For the month of October, we had 31 total deaths. Out of those, 27 were natural, one accidental death, two suicidal deaths, and one homicidal deaths. We had two cases with toxicology, two cases with an autopsies, and approved 12 cremation authorizations. You can kind of see the breakdown of the unnatural deaths there that are part of the report. On October 2nd, I facilitated the Lights of Hope meeting. On October 7th, I presented a training for the staff of Senior Services Associates at the Beecher Center. I presented for Operation Impact at Oswego East High School. Chief Deputy Coroner Gotti, he provided firearm training and annual qualifications for our staff. I provided a presentation and hands-on demonstration at the Sugar Grove Library for the NIU Teen STEM Cafe. And I presented to the health class at Oswego High School, and we had 16 total hours of community service served in our office over the month of October. That's it.
Any questions, Jackie? Thank you.
Thank you.
Health Department, Amal. And Dr. Palmer, welcome. I see you back there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to just
draw to your attention an excerpt from the World Health Organization Mental Health Action Plan 2020, and then just say something about that. So I'm just going to read about four sentences. Recognizing that the treatment gap for mental health disorders is large all over the world, that between 76% and 85% of people with severe mental health disorders in low and middle income countries receive no treatment for their mental health conditions, and that the corresponding figures for high income countries, although lower, is between 35 and 50%, also high. One moment, just turning the page here.
Take your time.
The Constitution of the World Health Organization recognizes that the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health is the fundamental right of every human being. The United Nations and regional human rights frameworks are an important means of promoting and protecting the rights of persons with mental disorders. The UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which came into force in 2008, has been widely ratified by member states. It is the first legally binding instrument with comprehensive rights and protections for persons with disabilities. It sets forth a full range of civil, cultural, economic, political, and social rights historically denied people with mental disorders, including the right to equal recognition before the law, to liberty and security of person, to be free from torture or cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment, to live independently and be included in the community, as the right to education, health, employment, and social protection, and participation in political and public life. I bring this up just as a wonderful way of being grateful for, in this month of November, for the wonderful partnerships that we have been afforded with, I'm not going to favor anybody, but Eric's here, so I want to talk about, just mention the forensics work that we do with the State's Attorney's Office, the work that we'll be doing in treatment for the mental health court, the violence prevention work. There's other things I'm forgetting, Eric, off the top of my head. Our drug court work, Sheriff Dwight Baird, and the expansion of our services in the jail and having an office for treatment 5 days a week there in the jail, and partnering with other police departments and the suicide discussions that we've had throughout the county, many important things. So I just want to thank everybody who's been involved with that because this is so good for our work. So I just want to bring that up. The World Health Organization 2020 plan is not something that organizations always look at. We often will look at state documents, but it's always inspiring to look at national and international documents, and the United States is very involved with this as well. So that's all.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Supervisor of Assessments, Andy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got board review filings were completed last month. We got 546 files this year. That breaks down to 70 commercial filings, 476 residential filings, and of those 546, 54% don't want to come in for a hearing, which makes the board review process a little quicker because they just will review the information that's provided. You don't have to wait for people to come and ask for a thing. So. Actual hearings will start December 1st, and we should be done by January 9th with the last day. We skip the week of Christmas and New Year's, so we'll be done about on time, like we have been the last few years. So,
any questions for Andy? Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Executive session. There is a need. We want to do it later. Planning, Building, and Zoning, Mr. Prochaska.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1913, request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for text amendments to the Kendall County zoning ordinance pertaining to recreational and medical cannabis uses.
Second.
31.
Thank
petition
you.
1931.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. Is there any discussion?
There are a couple of amendments. So for the first amendment to the main motion, I would yield to Member Vickers, since I believe that one is yours, the ag one.
Yeah, do you want to tell me where it is?
I
haven't got that part. Do you want me to read it? You just read what's there.
Motion.
Oh. Ms. Vickers?
I make a motion Surprise. For the approval of amendments to petition 1931 by adding adult use cannabis cultivation center and medical cannabis cultivation center to the list of special uses in the A1 agricultural zoning district with the same conditions as found in the M1 and M2 zoning districts for these uses.
Second.
Motion by Vickers, seconded by Kellogg to amend the petition. Make sure I'm doing this correctly.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve 1931 as written, and they just made
a second.
Yes.
Second. Yeah. There's Prochaska and Sesich made the motion.
A motion to amend by Vickers and Kellogg.
Right. And so we vote on the amendment.
We vote on the motion to amend. Yep.
Okay.
So it's not approving it; it's just amending it
to add
mm-hmm. that in. Correct. So that's the first vote. Yeah.
So does this say approval for the text amendments to in this A, B? They're not included in his motion?
Correct.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
So Prochaska's original motion does not have A, B,
okay.
or C, or the Y
yes.
included.
Okay.
So pages 83 to 93 in our packet are essentially what he just motioned.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can whiteboard it.
We do need a whiteboard.
Time we're done.
Yeah.
Are
Ms. Hendricks.
Currently considering just A?
Just A.
Okay.
The motion.
Right now they're doing one at a time.
That's what I'm making sure. Okay.
Yeah. Ms. Gilmore? I can feel your question, but I didn't know if you wanted to say it out loud.
I don't even know how to say it. So
all this is doing is adding paragraph at that amendment to the original motion. And you're only voting right now to determine whether or not that should be added to the motion
okay.
to then vote on it.
Okay.
That's all we're doing right now.
The question right now is, do we want to add special use in the A1 agricultural zoning district with the same conditions found in the M1 and M2 zoning districts? Currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Prochaska,
mm-hmm.
A1 is not in the original
correct
ordinance.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to say
Makes
why?
Ms. Sesich?
Okay. So just to clarify, on the amendment, we just need majority of quorum, and then the full board quorum.
To amend it, correct.
Okay.
You're not voting on the actual.
The amendment is majority of quorum, but the policy.
Final, whatever you vote on, totally when you're done, you will need 6 actual votes.
Okay.
So however you get there, you get there. But 6 will be required at the end.
Okay. Just making sure.
It's a majority of the board itself, doesn't matter how many are here.
Okay.
Ms. Hendricks.
I know that I haven't been here. Forgive me, I've been pretty ill.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to comment that it seems
glad you're
me,
feeling better.
Yeah, all right. Sorry, for everybody who doesn't like me, I'm back and I'm going to
live.
There's no one here that feels that way.
I'm going to live. I'm going to ask Mr. Kellogg, I think I already know the answer to this, but it seems to me this is pretty logical because the cultivation would require an enormous amount of space that would normally be found in an agricultural area that would already be set up for this kind of purpose.
Yeah, and I'm going to probably refer to Mr. Ossenmeyer for a couple of the details of the state law, but as far as a greenhouse location, we have lots of greenhouses in A1. This isn't large-scale growing. This does not include consumption, transportation, infusion, sales, consumption again.
Just cultivation.
This is just grow, dried plant. Whoever has a transportation license, which is completely separate, would pick it up at the facility and transport mm-hmm. it. The security is, for the grow facility, is highly detailed in the state law. So this would just be allowed for for growth, you know, growing plants in an ag zone.
Do you agree that it made sense for that to be? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Osmeyer, did you have anything to tack on? Mr. Prochaska?
The original concern of the Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee and why we did not put that there was that we felt that it was too intensive of a use for an A1 district, considering that it does require state marijuana laws or cannabis laws to require everything to be completely enclosed, and that was the original reasoning behind that. And other members of the committee, feel free to chime in on that.
Mr. Cog.
Yeah, one reason that I think it belongs in A1 is the odor. We talked about odor in freestanding buildings and structures. Just the industrial hemp producers that I'm aware of in the county speak about the odor when they're drying and preparing that product for being picked up. So to put it in M1 or some of those areas, you're going to have the odor issue within that zoning if you can put it in an A1 with where industrial hemp is currently being grown. It would be a non-issue, so I don't see why it wouldn't fit there.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
On Amendment A.
On Amendment A. This is to put to include A1 in the motion.
Okay. Mr. Gengler?
No.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
No.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
No.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
5-4
Motion carries 5-4. So A1 is now part of the petition.
All right. Then I will next do the next amendment to Mr. Gengler for the B3.
So B, approval of amendment to petition 1931 by removing adult use cannabis dispensing organization, medical cannabis dispensing organization, adult use cannabis infuser organization, and adult use cannabis processing organization from the list of special uses in the B3 highway business district and removing contradictory language in the proposed caused by this removal.
You're making that a motion?
What's that?
You're making that a motion?
Yes, so moved.
I'll second.
Seconded by Prochaska. Mr. Gengler, did you have anything to add?
You know, in this case, I've thought about it. As far as putting it down by the highway, you know, I've kind of changed my mind on this one. I'm okay with doing that. So that's kind of a comment I have on that one. If it's down by the expressway, it's fine. Understood.
Mr. Prochaska?
That leads into my amendment to Mr. Gengler's amendment, which was the approval of amendment to petition 1931 by allowing adult-use cannabis dispensing organizations, medical cannabis dispensing organizations, adult-use cannabis infuser organizations, and adult-use cannabis processing organizations to be a special use in the B3 business district, highway business district, provided that the use is located within 1,000 feet of an interchange of an interstate highway and a county or state highway, and removing contradictory language caused by this addition.
I'm so confused. I need
so is there a second to that motion?
There is.
Second by Kellogg. All right, so right now, before I get to the questions, we've got a motion to amend 1931.
Mm-hmm.
By, so what are we doing? Removing
B3,
or B, and then amending B3 to allow it in these certain areas.
So yes. He's B, your BI.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. So now we have two motions to the original petition.
Yes.
So if
Ms. Sessage, you may go first.
So would we be taking two votes then?
Yes.
And if we say no to if it fails to Gengler's, then
no, we'll be voting on his amendment first.
Oh, you'd be voting on his amendment. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then, wouldn't it make Gengler's move then? Or?
No, he's an amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
And then we'll vote on the amendment to the petition.
Dear God.
It's
okay.
This is fun.
You created this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Is it clear to everybody else? So.
Yeah. Mr. Kellogg?
I was just going to support that the one area of the county that's B3 that makes sense is near the interstate where, you know, if we're going to have these establishments, we'd be near the interstate, bring in revenue off the interstate, and it could leave the county almost immediately. So, I mean, if you're going to do it, that's a spot we should have open.
Mr. Prochaska.
One of the overriding factors in my mind for this was the fact that two of the townships with B3s, Oswego and Kendall, had both issued not objections, but concerns saying that they did not want that use in their townships. And after listening to the Regional Plan Commission and also to, they had similar comments to Mr. Kellogg that was the location. If we were to have it in a B3, that it would make the most sense.
The other questions on this, either procedurally or as to Ms. Hendricks?
Okay, so are we saying that we can only put them in locations that are 1,000 feet from a highway, by the highway?
Just an
interstate
exchange,
right? Nowhere else.
No.
It's an addition to what's already being allowed.
Yeah.
And I, forgive me.
Nowhere else in the B3 district.
Wasn't here. Why are we putting the 1,000 foot? What's that about? The 1,000 foot setback.
Mr. Prochaska.
That was a proposal from the Regional Plan Commission. That was one of their suggested. I would have to go back through the notes of the Regional Plan Commission on that, but it was a setback distance that was similar to other setback distances that
Mr. Asselmeyer,
they've recommended.
Do you have any input on that?
If you could list all the places that it would be appropriate once, if it passed this
Thank
way.
You.
Like
yes.
All the different zones where you could have these just clear everything up, hopefully.
So, in the case of adult use cannabis dispensing organizations, medical dispensing organizations, adult use cannabis infusion organizations, adult use cannabis processing organizations, those would be allowed, if this amendment passes, in the B3s, the M1s, and the M2s, specifically in the case of the B3s, within 1,000 feet of an interstate highway interchange. So
and
that would only be down in Seward Township. That's the only place where there's a B3 near an interstate highway interchange.
I guess what my confusion is why are we doing the 1,000 foot thing? I need to know the reasoning behind that.
So the Regional Planning Commission did not want to open up those uses in the B3 at large, but they felt that in those specific locations near the interstate, it was appropriate to have those uses in
but
B3s.
What is the reasoning behind the 1,000 foot distance?
Like 1,000 as opposed to 2,500 feet or, you know.
Or 50 feet.
50
or
feet,
what's
yeah.
the reasoning behind the 1,000 foot setback?
I think when they measured it off from the interstate highway interchange, that was the distance that they felt comfortable with. Had it been a little bit smaller, it would have been, it wouldn't have encompassed all the land down there that was zone B3, and had it been a little larger, it would have overshot. It wouldn't have, there's no land, other land down there that would have been B3, so in their minds, it would have been redundant to go larger.
And what is the restrictions on other businesses along that regard? Are there any other businesses that are set up with that restriction as well?
Are you talking like 1,000 feet from an interstate highway interchange? Not to my knowledge.
So what's the reason for it now?
They felt that the Planning Commission felt they wanted to have.
No, I know they felt that way. What was their reason for feeling that way?
They wanted to allow those uses at that specific location and in no other B3s throughout the county.
And why is that?
Well, I can't speak to the reasons why specific individuals wanted it, but I think the general consensus was that where B3s were in other places in the county, like in Boulder Hill Market, near some residential locations, in Millbrook or further out in the country, these cannabis uses either A, wouldn't go, or B, they weren't appropriate places to have them.
Mr. Kellogg?
From the feedback from some of the townships, exactly what Matt had said, especially Kendall Township kind of has some B3s splattered all over the township that wouldn't make sense for this use. And then Oswego has a number that are near residential, and some of them would be exempt because of schools and parks and other things that are covered. And then back to the thousand from the interstate interchange encompasses all the current B3 that's there. And there's a little bit left that could be annexed in or rezoned as B3 to the north. To the east, there's a school on the other side of the railroad tracks that would prevent it from growing that way. So the 1,000 encompasses that whole area.
Right. I guess what I'm concerned about is somebody coming back and saying, you don't have this restriction for anything else, like adult bookstores or liquor stores or tobacco. I mean, you can buy liquor in Walgreens. So I'm a little confused about... I'm not confused. This is my concern. I could see why we don't have a good legal footing to sit on here. I don't know, but it seems to me like that's kind of an unfair application of... That requirement is sort of an unfair application. I'm looking for an opinion on that.
Mr. Prochaska?
One of the main reasons that the Regional Planning Commission wanted to so severely restrict B3 was it was their thought process, at least my understanding, it was that they were, cannabis is new to this state, new to this county. They wanted to be more restrictive up front, and so in the future we could come back in and add in and relax the restrictions. It's always easier for a county to relax zoning restrictions as it is to make them stricter right, after right. Something has come into play. We see that with place down the road. But that is the main reasons of the Regional Planning Commission. It is also my understanding that when we write these rules, most of whatever group writes the rules here for this and whatever recommendation, when we're setting it in our zoning ordinance, our reasoning for it can be varied, and everybody could have a different reason for doing something. It doesn't make it any less legally legitimate. Is that correct, Mr. Ossemeyer?
Yeah, I mean, the advisory boards can give one opinion, and the county board's not obliged to take that opinion. They are if they want. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Mr. Gangler.
Yeah, I agree with what Matt said as far as easing on regulations later on down the road. You got to keep in mind, too, that marijuana is not federally regulated yet, like alcohol is, like tobacco is.
Well, it's regulated. It's not.
Not federally regulated.
Marijuana is federally regulated. It's on a Schedule 1.
It's illegal. Yeah.
Right. It's regulated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to control what goes inside that product.
It's not regulated.
It's not controlled by the FDA.
But that doesn't bear on where it can be sold. I mean, I get what you're saying. I agree. But it doesn't bear on top.
Ms. Gilmore.
So isn't it true that the regional plan was against the B3 to begin with?
Strasmar.
Without any conditions like this amendment I?
ZPAC was against the B3. The Regional Planning Commission, when they looked at it, had concerns about the B3, but the compromise they reached was that 1,000 feet near an interstate highway.
What about Kendall Township and Oswego Township?
Kendall Township was very concerned about the B3. They were against having cannabis uses in the B3. The Kendall Township supervisor's argument was that when the county zoned B3, they were thinking of smaller uses, more local commercial uses instead of cannabis uses. And Oswego Township's concern was not having any cannabis sales in Boulder Hill.
And so wouldn't it make more sense, like Mr. Jessica said, to start out more restrictive and then down the road, if this board wants to ease up on that, but to begin with, to stay more restrictive?
Ms. Vickers?
That, to me, that's what the Mr. Prochaska's amendment to the amendment actually is. It's a very tiny bit of the B3, all of the B3 in the county, so it's kind of the compromise of, instead of doing B3 everywhere, it's just in that one location of B3. It is very restricted instead of putting it B3 across the county. correct? Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
A lot of great points, and I think we just need to take the Boulder Hill thing out of the equation because that's not even a possibility with this location to the Park District preschool that they run there. So that's not really even a possibility, no matter what. So they are taking care of their concerns there, but I do understand the idea and greatly appreciate the idea of, you know, something new coming on board, you want to make it more restrictive, and then you can always, it's easier to make things more lenient than not. But in Ms. Hendricks' point of view, I do see the difficulty with setting a precedence, and are we setting a precedence that when something new comes online, like the legalization of marijuana, then do we have a precedence to limit that significantly, or do we have to treat like every other Walgreens, liquor store, what have you? So I do understand that difficulty there with that. And it kind of makes me want to weigh the ideas back and forth, and I mean, what if, see, it's kind of its own entity, because it's not like you can say, well, there's an adult bookstore that wants to locate, but those are already out there. That's already, you know, been zoned and whatnot. So I do understand your point there. It does make some difficulty there in the decision, that precedent.
It just makes it hard to know right where you drop.
Right, and legally as well.
Any other discussion on this item? Otherwise, the vote. Well, first vote is on the motion to amend the motion to allow for an exemption for special uses within 1,000 feet of an interchange of an interstate highway and a county or state highway, and removing contradictory language caused by this addition. Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
7-2. Mm-hmm. All right, that motion carries 7-2, and now the vote will be on the motion to, to remove B3 from the approved list other than this 1,000-foot area that we've just discussed. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call.
So that didn't... Okay. I got
make
it.
Sense?
I think yeah. So.
The amendment to the amendment.
The amendment to the amendment passed, and now it attaches
now
to the amendment.
Now you do the amendment.
So this is for B.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, with the amendment with attached to it.
So this is... So B is to remove B3 from the list.
Right. But the amendment that we just approved is now attached to that. So now we have an amendment on the amendment. If that makes sense.
She's like, no.
No.
Okay, we have to review the tape.
Yeah, right.
Okay, wait.
Yes, Ms. Hendricks.
So could we just have Mr. Asselmeyer then please let us know in sum total with this amendment that we're now voting on, all the places that we're going to be allowing sales in unincorporated Kendall County. Like, I agree with Mr. Kellogg. Can we just have the list now?
Mr. Asselmeyer.
So, as I understand what just passed, the the cannabis cultivation centers, medical cannabis cultivation center, or excuse me, cannabis dispensing centers, dispensing organizations, cannabis processing organizations, and transport, or not transporting, processing, infusers, and dispensing, both adult use and medical, would now be in the B3 within 1,000 feet of an interstate interchange, as well as in the M1 and M2 as special uses.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
No.
So. All right. Motion carries 7-2.
And the last amendment is Amendment C, approval of an amendment to Petition 1931 requiring that an adult-use cannabis cultivation centers, medical cannabis cultivation centers, adult-use cannabis dispensing organizations, medical cannabis dispensing organizations, adult-use cannabis infusers, adult-use cannabis processing organizations, adult-use cannabis transporting organizations be in standalone building, and removing contradictory language caused by this amendment.
Is there a motion by Prochaska? Second by Gangler. Do you want to explain this one?
This was a dangling motion left at P PBZ that I had forgotten to call the roll on. So I will say that is a mea culpa there on my part.
Well, you've always wanted to say that.
Yeah. Dangling motion and mea culpa.
All in one paragraph.
But the reasoning behind this was, this is on lessons taken from the Washington State Association of Counties, the Colorado Association of Counties, and the Nevada State Association of Counties. They have all suggested repeatedly that cannabis be in standalone buildings, both for security reasons and for odor control reasons, that we do not necessarily want them in with other businesses in a strip mall or in other buildings.
Ms. Hendricks.
I've since had a chance to, because I was looking at this in advance, and I have to say I agree. The odor alone, but for security, it's pretty easy to go from one area in a strip mall through the wall into. So I think I'm in agreement. The odor and the security issues sort of require this.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All right, the motion carries unanimously, 9-0.
All right,
now we have one more vote. The approval of petition 19-31 as amended by item A1A, approval of an amendment to allow cannabis cultivation center to the list of special uses in the A1 zoning district with same conditions found in M1 and M2, and then the approval of removing B3 as a designation with the exception of those areas that are located within 1,000 feet of an interchange of an interstate highway with a county or state highway, and removing contradictory language caused by this addition. And then finally, the requirement that cannabis cultivation center, medical cannabis cultivation center, adult use cannabis dispensing organization, medical cannabis dispensing organization, adult use cannabis infuser organizations, adult use cannabis processing organizations, and adult use cannabis transporting organizations be in a standalone building, and removing contradictory language caused by this amendment. Roll call.
Six votes to pass.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
7-2.
Thank you. The motion carries 7-2.
Real quick, if you don't mind.
Mr. Kellogg.
I'd like to thank the PBZ office has done a great job getting through this, and the chairman of the committee and the chairman of the other committees that have been hearing this. I think the process went very smoothly and very well organized, so I just wanted to appreciate that. So.
Thank you. Appreciate that as well. Ms.
Vickers. I'd like to tag on that because having friends on county boards surrounding us, they are months behind where we are. So. That I think Matt leading that, starting it on PBZ so early was a good thing. So, and then just the office staff being so willing to put all the time into it. So, I think it's a very good thing that we did.
Thank you. Ms. Hendricks.
And just as a last remark, I would like to, as I was laying in bed, I was surveying what was happening across the state. And I think that this board has taken a really wise and long looking vision on this issue, and we are well positioned compared to other counties to handle it correctly, to reap the revenue from it, and continue to make it a safe environment at the same time. So it is contentious, but it's here and we have to deal with it, and I think we've really done the best service for the county in the long run, both in terms of security and fiscal responsibility. So congratulations is owed to everybody.
Thank you. Mr. Prochaska, you saw D and E that we from earlier.
I would like
you're not done yet.
I know. I'd like to make a motion to approve petition 1926, a request from Edward and Robert Balls on behalf of Herb Properties LLC owner and Thomas and Tyler Zerline on behalf of TZ Landscaping LLC tenant for a special use permit for a landscaping business at 276 U.S. Route 52 in Seward Township.
Motion by Prochaska, second by Kellogg. Yeah. Kellogg, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I'd like Mr. Osmeyer to step up, and could you talk about some of the concerns from Seward Township about the appearance of the property and their concerns about us passing this?
Sure. Shorewood also had concerns, and those are on page 47 of the packet. Their concerns were that this type of use they see as more industrial instead of commercial. They also had concerns about the operation being outside and not having adequate screening. They wanted a fence. The petitioners agreed to install trees, arborvitae. There was concerns about proper property maintenance. We do not have a property maintenance code in the unincorporated areas. The village of Shorewood had concerns about impervious area, and the petitioners will have to apply for a stormwater permit. And originally, the petitioners were going for more signage, and they since dropped that, which would have required a variance. For Seward Township specifically, that's on page 48. They were concerned about the burning of materials, which is against state law, sound coming from the property, which they thought a berm as well as planting trees would reduce that. The organization of the property, they thought it wasn't laid out very well and not kept up well, maintenance of the buildings, and proper parking for employees. And the township echoed the Seward Township Planning Commission's concerns, which their comments are on page 49.
Did Seward Township file an objection or anything? Or?
No.
No. And then on the number four of Shorewood's concerns about the impervious parking in those areas added, is that a concern, or
they're going to have to apply for a stormwater permit?
They're going to have to apply for, and they don't have to do that before we, or could we require them to do that before we approve this?
If this were to be denied, I would assume they probably wouldn't stay at that site. In which case, then a stormwater permit wouldn't be necessary because they wouldn't be doing that work there anymore. So they have to follow all laws anyway, and that's just another one they have to follow.
We don't have a timeline on when they have to do that or any requirements with the special use?
No, but if they start working out there and start pouring more stuff down impervious surface, then they'd be in violation of the stormwater permit, stormwater ordinance. So we could start prosecuting right away on that.
How enforceable is the stormwater, Mr. State's Attorney, please? Quick, or is this a long process?
It's not a quick process, meaning like a citation will just bring them quickly. It's something that does take a little bit of time, but we have done the enforcement of those in the past.
Okay. Thank you.
When necessary.
All right. That's my question.
And to clarify your question on Seward Township, not only did they not object, they actually made a motion to recommend the special use permit, and it passed unanimously. Any other questions on this one? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
No.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
7-2. Motion carries 7-2. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1935, request from John and Laura Gay for a special use permit for a kennel and a variance to section 7.01.D.27 of the Kendall County Zoning Ordinance, allowing a kennel to be placed 30 feet 6.5 inches instead of 150 feet from lots zoned other than residential at 3601 Plainfield Road in Oswego Township.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kellogg, and I believe that there's somebody from this group that is here. Do you want to come up for just a second? Mr. Prochaska, I'll let you go first.
Our ZPAC committee recommended approval at unanimously with the Regional Plan Commission recommended approval with no conditions. ZBA recommended approval with conditions. Oswego Township had no objection. Village of Oswego, no comments. Oswego Fire Protection District approval with conditions. And then PBZ committee recommended approval with conditions. The conditions are listed in the ordinance. They were incorporated every step along the way. There was no complaints from surrounding property owners. You recommend adoption.
Okay. You want to say your name for the record?
I'm Caitlin Ployan from the law firm Rosenhoff & Whitaker, here on behalf of the petitioners John and Laura Gay. We appreciate all of your consideration, time, and review.
Thank you. And then are there any questions for petitioner or Matthew? Okay, thank you. Roll call.
Excuse me. Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries thank unanimously. You. Thank you. Anything else, Matthew?
Nothing.
Because we can.
It was removed from consent by request.
Admin HR, Judy.
Okay. I'd like to make motion for approval of ICRMT fiscal year 1920 property liability and workers' comp insurance renewal in the amount of $663,686.
Thank you. Motion by Gilmore. Seconded by Vickers. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes. All eyes. Thank you. Vickers.
Thank you.
And I'd like to make a motion for approval of cyber liability coverage from BCS Company effective 12-1-19 to 12-1-20 in the amount of $7,647.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion on this? Scott?
Just want to point out we're increasing our coverage from $1 million to $3 million because of industry trends and what's been happening, and then also some possible new laws coming down the road. And we've increased our deductible from $10,000 to $25,000 because with cyber liability, there are not often small claims. So the committee agreed with that assessment, so does our broker. I just wanted to note that we have increased that, when not at a great cost. So.
Great. Roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Law Justice Legislation, Mr. Giles.
I make a motion to approve the contract with Advanced Correctional Healthcare, Inc. for $213,684.79 for healthcare services January 1, 2020 to November 30th, 2020, waiving the formal bid process under the
Matthew.
Medical Services Commission.
I'm sorry.
Matt, need. You want to wait?
HPC. Sorry. Motion made by Giles.
Second.
Seconded by Sesich. You got anything you want to add on that?
No. Came out of the paper.
Okay. Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Carries all eyes. Special committee reports, historic preservation.
EDC.
EDC
and then
highway. Oh, I have so many notes on here. I already crossed them.
And you have highway as well.
Economic Development Committee.
I'd like Hendricks. To make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Kendall County Revolving Loan Fund Recapture Strategy.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Giles.
And could I ask Mr. Keppel to summarize this for me, please?
Mr. Keppel.
Sure. So the starts on packet page 101, and this is an update back to the rules that were put in place in 2017. This all comes from the letter from DCEO about the revolving loan fund and that the best interest of what the county sees fit for that. The biggest changes are that now loans can be made to municipalities and inter-fund loans as well as loaning to private businesses. Some changes that have happened in more recent discussions and times is the part about the interest increase in a TIF district has been removed. And then there's some recommendations from the committee about interest rates for municipal loans specifically and where they would be. A recommendation would come from the Economic Development Committee to the board for final approval. And then some superfluous language was removed about interfund loans at Member Prochaska's request. This is very similar to the rules, like I said, that came around earlier, and that's what's different than what we're doing right now.
Ms. Hicks.
I would just like to note that the reason we're removing this, the explicit interest rate for TIF districts, is because the committee decided that they would actually like to be able to decide that on a case-by-case basis. So if we come across a TIF district that's actually written in such a way that it's beneficial, we can choose to reward that. And if we come across a TIF district that's asking, that is coming to us for a loan, we can choose to penalize that if it's not written well. Because I think we all share kind of the same concerns about TIF districts, but it is true that when they are well-written, they can be effective. And we would like to actually motivate municipalities and entities that are writing TIF districts to write them well if they want to get a loan from us.
Any questions on this? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
8-1.
All right, thank you. Motion carries 8-1. All right, highway. Thank you. May have a motion to approve the ordinance establishing an altered speed zone of 45 miles per hour on Rogers Road in Fox Township.
Second.
All right, I'll make that motion. And seconded by Sussage, that's all right. And Fran, everyone is anxiously awaiting to hear from you. And what's the uniform traffic safety management?
Close.
Book?
Fran Kloss, County Engineer. The Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, MUTCD.
MT, that's it. Right. This puts us in compliance with the MUTCD.
Correct. This is really a fairly simple thing, a straightforward thing. Rogers Road was improved this year, but it's a Fox Township highway. As a reminder, county boards set speed limits on all county and township highways. So in order to change any speed limits for townships, the county board actually has to pass an ordinance to do that. This affects a really small section of Rogers Road, and it's right in the reverse curve area west of Whitfield Road. So it's only 1,700 feet from Finney Road to Whitfield Road, where this 45 mile an hour speed limit would apply, and it's done specifically to meet the requirements of the MUTCD in regard to the reverse curve there. So there's a pretty tight reverse curve, meaning you turn one way and then you turn the other way. And in order to comply with the MUTCD, we needed to lower the speed limit so all the signing there would comply with that book.
Thank you.
You bet.
And have you ever run into issues in the past? You mentioned at the beginning that the county sets the speed limit for townships. Is everyone aware of that in the county? I feel like that comes up every now and then.
I cannot testify to whether everyone in the county is aware of that.
Everyone at a township level.
Are the townships aware of that?
I think the highway commissioners are now. You know, historically, whether that's been implemented perfectly, probably not, and I'm sure there are some speed limits out there that may or may not have gone through all the proper motions and probably predate any of us being here at the county level. So I think everybody's aware of it now, and we're trying to do our best to make sure everything complies with that.
Thank you. Ms. Gilmore?
That's a really dangerous section of that road, isn't that right, Fran?
No.
No.
No, no roads are dangerous. It's only the way people drive that make them dangerous.
Wow. Very good answer.
I've given a lot of depositions, Judy, so yeah. I have to say that. It is, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's a big hill. There's a vertical curve, horizontal curve. So now that it's been repaved, there's good pavement markings down. We have chevrons or safe hits on each side of the road. So I think it's a lot safer than it was before. And this speed limit is directly trying to make it even safer. I'm not answering your question.
The non-answer answer.
We'll just stop there. I mean, oh, we won't, I guess. Ms. Hendricks.
I don't even remember what the speed limit is there now. Is it 50?
It was unposted before. So, you know, well, by state law unposted, it would be 55. So this affects just that easterly 1,700 feet. Once you get west of Finney Road, it goes right back to 55 mile an hour because it's a long straight stretch after that.
Have we done a speed study on this stretch?
Yeah, and that's exactly why it needs to be 45. If we leave it at anything higher,
you really shouldn't, there's an advisory speed for the horizontal curves at 35. The advisory speed, however, is not regulatory. So if you want to drive 55 around those curves you could have previously, that would be dangerous, which speaks to how people drive. But because the advisory speed is 35, the regulatory speed needs to be 45, or else the township would have to put up a whole bunch of additional sign.
Do we know what the average speed driving through there is? I know
I
that
don't.
On one of these, it was like 78 miles an hour, and I didn't know if we had something similar on this one. So
I don't have specific numbers, but it is true that every time we do a speed study and we have a little electronic equipment that tests that, it would really surprise you what the prevailing speed and some of the top 10% speeds are on any road that we do. It's almost unbelievable.
Wow. Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. Thanks, Fran. All right, now, special committee reports and historic preservation. Scott.
The Historic Preservation Commission has completed their review of the historic preservation ordinance. They have one outstanding question for the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency. After that issue is addressed, the proposal will head to the PVZ committee and eventually to the county board for final approval.
Thank you. Board of Health, Tony.
We haven't met since our last county board meeting, but we are meeting tonight.
Great. Other business? Chairman's report, nothing at this time.
Could I?
Oh, Mr. Keppel.
Real quick. So I just wanted to bring about, when we started discussions of everything related to cannabis, when the law was passed, that there were several things that needed to get done before the law went into effect on January 1st. The tax ordinance is passed. I have from IDOR that they have received it at the Department of Revenue. And then today the PVZ items were passed for zoning inside the county. And then this week, the HR admin committee hopefully will finish and have a recommendation for staffing and personnel and the employee handbook that's underneath the county board. And that will come then for final approval in December. So okay. I just wanted to say thanks. Okay, and it's been a lot of work from everybody, staff especially, on getting all these things to the board to have the discussions and get them finalized in time, because we were not given a tremendous amount of time.
Mr. Gallagher?
The one thing, we got feedback that the tax from a dispensary would be separate, is that correct?
It will come in as a separate revenue from other taxes, so that we can track it, and if we wanted to put it into a special fund, that'll be something that once we get one and we're going to start receiving the money, it'll be a discussion of finance committee. Yeah.
Great.
Excellent.
All right. Public comment. Just say your name and you have 5 minutes.
Todd Miller, Yorkville. I just wanted to bring to the attention that the Oswego Township Administration building location is going to be changed. It's going from the 84 Templeton address to 99 Boulder Hill. So, Dwight, when you send your officer over there, it'll be a new location for their December meeting.
Yep, I'm aware of that.
Okay. And then that building is actually an old doctor's office. So there was a lot of exam rooms, and there's a lot of space over there that they're really not going to be using. So I talked to Amal about possibly some type of satellite location over there that you could partner with. Some of the trustees I talked to were open to the idea of, it's just down the hill from where a lot of seniors live over there in Boulder Hill. That Boulder Hill area is one that seems to demand a lot of county services. So I think there's an opportunity there maybe for some housing, some additional services over there, if there was a desire to do so, or to partner with one of the other elected officials or departments here and within the county. I think they might be open to that idea, because they're going to have some extra space. So I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Thank you. We do have a need for executive session, but if it's the will of the committee, I would take a recess for that, do Forest Preserve, and then come back.
Yeah. Press has a question.
Questions from the press, yes.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Wyman, WSBY. I noticed on the tentative budget that the
health department money coming back to the county had gone up, and I wondered what the reason for that was.
Mr. Kellogg, do you want to explain our, how we worked things out this year? Or Mr. Keppel, one of the two.
You want to address it?
So you also note in the tentative budget that the levy has increased significantly. We've changed the manner in how the benefits will be paid for by the health department. They will pay similar to the GIS department, as an example, that when their benefits accrue on a monthly basis, it will get charged back for the total amount, but then the levy has also been increased significantly.
So that's a change, right?
That is a change that will be new for this year. It was discussed in detail for over a year prior to this happening.
And it'll be actuals instead of estimates. Before, the money was based on estimates based on their budget for personnel. So now it'll be accurate.
Okay. Why has the budget process been so quiet this year? May I ask that question?
I guess you'd have to ask all the department heads, electeds, and everybody who's worked.
Are you happy? Are you happy with the process?
Yeah, I think so far I've gotten a lot of good feedback from members on the board, department heads, everybody we talk to. A lot of it goes back to the administration office, and Latrice Caldwell really does a good job getting me prepared and then explaining to members as they call and explaining to departments and electeds, you know, how it's working. So
you didn't take the, you did not take the CPI, right?
We'll be voting on the 25th. It's not in the budget, correct?
Okay, and that's a special meeting that, what, Monday, last Monday?
Yeah, Monday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
We have a special county board meeting, and it'll be for the budget.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Scott. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, so we'll take a, do I need a motion to recess? Do I need a motion to recess?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sessage. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we'll take about 10 minutes, adjust our hair pieces. And
some questions related to the to that.
Right, Judy?
So then we'll
you're good with doing a fourth. Yeah.
I think I'm a little obtuse and didn't realize what the issue was.
I did tell the story. I saw the headline, though. Okay.
Back in regular session for today's adjourned September meeting for November 19th, 2019. May I have a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of
collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. And number 11, litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court.
So moved.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Gangler. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed?
We are adjourned. I was up all night.
Gangler and Gilmore.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.